All right, Tabo, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We are picking up from Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Ravina. Top line. Last round, top line. Tabo, say our shir this morning. This is old. Okay, good. Tabo, say, let's begin. Amar Ravina. Hilchach. Hatinokes. Tabo, remember again, we were discussing about the Gzera of Chazal that a Tinok and a Tinokes who are an Akum are metame tumas ziva. So ziva, again, for a girl, tumas nida. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, therefore, hilchach, hatinokes, ovedes kochavim, baskim moshon viyomechot, hoil ureuya libya, metame nami beziva. So therefore, Ravina says, therefore, by a girl, an ovedes kochavim, a young akum child, who is the age of 3 years old in one day, since at that age she is roi libya, therefore, again, the rabbinic tumas ziva is conferred upon her as well. So Gemara says, pshita, in other words, that's obvious. That's what we just said. It's based on what we learned yesterday. If for a boy it's 9 years old in one day when he's ra'i labia, so therefore for a girl it's going to be 3 years old in one day when she's ra'i labia, to which the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Ma'udetem, what would I have said? Hai yada la'argule, vahala yada la'argule. I would have thought that perhaps, again, the tumas ziva was conferred upon the boy because at the age of 9 years old in one day, again, remember, what's the concern? The concern was that he was going to engage in Mishkav Zachar together with the Jewish child. So I might have thought, again, it's only at the age of 9 years old in one day where the child is a bit older and could be a bit more cunning that ultimately we have to be concerned with this. But for a girl of 3 years old in one day, there's no concern. Kamash Malan, no. K'mashalam, that as soon as the child reaches the age where the child is roi or ru'uya labia, the tumas ziva is conferred. Mistamech va'az Rabbi Yehuda Nesia akasrei Rabbi Smalai shamei. Jose Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was leaning on the shoulder of Rabbi Smalai, his servant. His attendant. Amrlei Smalai, lo yisei emeshavei samajus k'shetanu es hashemim. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia says to Rabbi Smalai, Smalai, you were not in the base medrash yesterday when we permitted the use of Shemen Akum, when we permitted the use of Gentile oil. In other words, originally it was prohibited, and then in the Beis Din we were matir it. Amar lo, biyameinu tatir af es apas. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Smalai says back to Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. They're two different people. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is Rabbi, the codifier of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is his grandson. So Rabbi Smalai says back to Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, wait, Rabbi, you're going to see, in our days, we're still going to permit pasakum. Now, what kind of bread was he talking about? So this kind of, we spoke about this a little bit yesterday. This was really a reference to paspalter, bread of a Gentile baker, more commercial bread. Amrlo, imkein karulon beis din asharia. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia says, no, we can't permit anything else. Because if we permit anything else, what's going to happen? They're going to call us the permitting Beis Din, right? They're going to call us a bunch of, that's where the Kula rabbis, right? That's where we're always going ahead and issuing the lenient rulings. So therefore, we can't be matir anything else. This time, I will say, listen to this. This time, because we learned, Heyed Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzreda, we'll say, first wide line, Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzreda, we'll say, which literally means from tzreda, gave the following testimony. Al ayal kamsa dachan. Osayal Kamsa, as we're going to learn, is a certain type of grasshopper. So Rabbi Yossi ben Sreda, paskin that this type of grasshopper was kosher. Va'almashka beis mitbach, yodachon, and also that on the liquids from the slaughterhouse of the Beis HaMikdash, that they are tar. We're going to define what all these means are as well. Va'al dikarav lemesav masav. And literally translated, it means one who comes close to a corpse will become tameh. And because he went ahead and he permitted all of these things, the Karule Yosef Sharia. They called him ultimately Yosef the permitter. Right? They called him Yosef the Matur, Yosef the permitter. Amarle, so we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that if you go ahead and you permit a bunch of stuff, so what happens? You get a reputation. You get a reputation, which by the way, might not be a bad reputation, but a reputation nevertheless as being an incredible makil. So we'll say that the idea over here is that Rabbi Yehuda Nesia is saying that Yosi ben Yoezer got this reputation because he permitted three things. So apparently, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia says, if we go ahead and we permit one more thing, it's going to be too much. So Rabbi Smalai responds, Chosam Shara Tlas. That's because Yosi ben Yoezer permitted three things. Umar Sharachada, but you, Rebbe, have only permitted one thing. right? The one thing presumably was what? Shemen akum, right? The oil of an akum. That is because remember that's what they were talking about over here. That we permitted the shemen of an akum. So the Gemara says, "Ishari marchadachri." See, akati tartin hu dahavion. And Rebbe, even if you're makel in one more area, at most what? That only puts you at two. Apparently, you only get the reputation of being a big makel when you permit three things. To which Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya says, well, no, I've already permitted something else. What's the other thing that I permitted? So the Gemara says, my he dis none. Let's listen to this case. Let's listen to this. A man gives his wife a get, and he says to her, this is your get if I don't return 12 months from now. Mikan ad 12 chodesh. And we'll say, what happens? Umeis besoch 12 chodesh. And the husband dies sometime during those 12 months. What's the halacha, Rav Hosai? Ain't no get. So Tanna Kamma says, it's not a get. Why? Because at the end of the day, he died, and ain't get la'achar misa. There is no get after death. The Taniyala, I will say, yet we learned, for Rabbi Sinu hitiru alinase, that the rabbis permitted her to remarry. Va'arminon, my Rabbi Sinu, Rabbi say, what that means is when you say the rabbis permitted her to marry, it's another way of saying that the get is good. So what happened? Va'arminon, my Rabbi Sinu, am Rabbi Dom Shmuel Beis Dina Disharo Mishcha. That's a reference to the Beis Din, which permitted the use of Gentile oil. Now that's the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya. So you see, the Beis Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya permitted a woman to get remarried based on this get. What's the pshat? Sover lak Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya is Beis Din like Rabbi Yossi. Where's Rabbi Yossi? The Amar Zmano Shal Shtar Mochiach Alav. We've saw this before in Gittin. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Rabbi Yossi, whenever there is a date effectively triggers a retroactivity clause. So when there is a date in the get, and the husband says, if I don't come back within 12 months, or at the end of 12 months, this is your get, and there is a date in that get, I will say, then what does that effectively say? If I don't come back within after 12 months, the get is chal as of when? As of when? As of the date written in the get. There's a retroactivity clause. Therefore, I will say, it turns out that even if he dies within the 12 months, at the end of the day, one thing is clear, which is what? He's not coming back after 12 months. If he doesn't come back after 12 months, then what? That triggers the retroactivity clause, at which point in time she is retroactively divorced from the moment that he gave her the get. Sebo said, that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya and his Beis Din, the same Beis Din which permitted the use of Akum oil, also allowed this woman to get remarried based on this get. Sebo said, by the way, you'll say to yourself, well, who cares? What does it matter if the get is chal or not? Whether she, right? Either way, she can get remarried. Why? Why? Her husband's dead. We'll say, so we know, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be Yibum, right? So again, at the end of the day, Yibum is the big one over here, because Lamaisa, again, if she died, and she died without children, or he died without children, then Lamaisa, again, she'd be subject to Yibum. The fact that the get is chal exempts her from Yibum, to which the Gemara says as follows, Savila krebios, idem zman shtamachia chalav, Va'amar Rabbi Abba, Bereit Rebkiyabar Abba, Rabbi Huda Hanasi. So we'll say, again, there are two versions of this. If it's Rabbi Huda Hanasi or Rabbi Huda Nesiya, which fits in more with our version. Hora, V'lo Hodulo Kol Shaito. We'll say, this is how Rabbi Huda Nesiya paskins, that the get is a good get, but yet all of his days, no one agreed with him, we'll say. No one agreed with him. V'amrile Kol Siaito. Or others say, again, his cohorts did not agree with him. So the point is, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya said that this was a valid get, but he faced incredible opposition. So Amar li Rabbi Eliezer lahu Saba. So listen to this, Rabbi says. So Rabbi said the following to this old man, Ki sharisua la'alter sharisua dilo asi, o dilma la'achar shneimas archodesh taha ikayim leitim. Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. So Rabbi Eliezer, or they changed it to Rabbi Elazar, asked the following question. When Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya said that this was a valid get, Rabbi Osei, and he permitted the woman to remarry based on the get, at what point in time did she have a license to remarry? Does she have a license to remarry immediately upon the death of the husband? Why, Rabbi Osei? because at that point in time, it's clear the husband is not coming back, and therefore, again, we could trigger the retroactivity clause already now, because we know he's not coming back at the end of 12 months, even though, again, perhaps it's only 2 months in. Or do we say, no, she can get married based on this get, but only when, Rabosai, only when? At the end of the 12 months. So it was an interesting shayla. In this case over here, we know the husband is dead, so we know he's not coming back after 12 months. Can we trigger the retroactivity clause now? Now, at the moment of his death, and therefore allow her to get remarried now, even though, again, he only left 2 months ago? Or do we say, no, the way it works is we have to wait until the end of the 12 months, then the retroactivity clause is triggered, and only then can she get remarried. But the truth is, why are you asking this kasha, ultimately, again, on the psak of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia? You could ask this kasha already on the Mishnah. Disnan, harei ze gitech me'achshav im lo basi, mikan ad 12 chodesh. If a man says to his wife, this is your get from now, me'achshav, if I don't come back after 12 months, umeis besoch 12 chodesh, and he dies within 12 months, so havi get. Ultimately, again, the get is good. Why? D'hoi kayim le tanoi. Because Rabbi say, ultimately, again, the tanoi was fulfilled. Because Rabbi say, now understand, this case is a bit easier. Why? Because the Maisa here, he used one very important word, which is me'achshav. Right? Well, me'achshav will say triggers retroactivity clause. So the Gemara says, what? So Rabbi Elazar, why are you asking ultimately again, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia? Why don't you ask your kasha on the Mishnah? V'ti ba'ilacha, you could ask the kasha. La'altra havigita dahala asa. Is the get chal immediately? Because we know again that he's not coming back after 12 months. Odim la'achar yud beis chodesh dahai kaim li'tinai. Or is the get only chal after 12 months? Because only then is the tanai actually chal. To which the Gemara says, you're right. This Saba, this old man, could have asked Rabbi Elazar the same question. Inachinami, ela mishum dahavis bahu minyana. I will say the reason why Rabbi Elazar, the Saba, was asking Rabbi Elazar the question was because Rabbi Elazar was part, ultimately, again, of that group that permitted the use of this get. So because he was part of the basin that permitted the use of this get, he was part of the minyan, literally, again. That's why I chose to ask him about that particular case. Fine. So Amar Abayis, we're going to talk a little bit about Gin. Amar Abaye says, Hakom Odim, everyone agrees in the following case. L'chishetetzi chama min artika. Listen to the following case. A man says to his wife, he gives her a get. He says, this is your get when literally the sun leaves its sheath. Which Rabbi says, another way of saying what? When the sun rises. When the sun rises, this is your get. So whatever it is, he's giving her a get the day before. The afternoon, the day before, this is your get from the time the sun rises. To which the Gemara says, "L'chinafka ka'amrala." It's obvious that what he's saying over here is that when the sun comes out, ultimately, again, this is your get. "V'chimayis balayla," and I will say, if he were to die that night, then what? "Get la'achar misuhu." Then I will say, this would be a posthumous get, and it would not be good. I will say, remember again, you can't give a get after death. I will say, the truth is, let me rephrase that. You can't do anything after death, right? You can't do anything after death. Anything that you want, any realities, it's a big mussar, any realities that you want to affect have to be affected in life. Also, remember again, we saw this even in the sugyas of nachala, of inheritance, right? I will say important is so that if a person wants to affect the transfer of their estate in some way different than normative biblical law. Let's say I have a firstborn son, but I want to go ahead and divide my estate evenly. There are ways to do that, but only if you affect transfer of that estate during your lifetime. If you try to affect that change after your death, you cannot do so. If you want to go, a man wants to give his wife a get. Again, obviously we spoke about these cases. Very often this situation over here is where a person wants to avoid yibum, right? So a man says, this is your get if right tomorrow morning, and he dies that night. If he dies before the morning comes, then lemaisa the get's not a get. Why? Because a get can't be chal after a person dies. So the Gemara says, amnas shetetze chama menatika. Me'achshav kamar. So let's listen to this. However, if he says to her, this is your get on the condition that the sun comes out tomorrow, then what? Then really what he's doing is including a retroactivity clause, and the get is actually chal from retroactively from the moment that he gave it to her. So therefore, I will say, even if he dies that night, the moment the sun comes out, the get, the retroactivity clause is triggered, and ultimately she is divorced. The get mechayimu, because we'll say even if he dies that night, this retroactivity clause, and ultimately again the get is valid. Because Rafuna is of the opinion that whenever you say amanas on the condition is synonymous with what? Me'achshav, from now. We'll say that phrase, the analogy means that a man is giving his get. He says to her, this is your get as of now. This is your get from this moment, which means retroactivity. So the Gemara says, lo nechloku, where's the machlokas? Ela be'im teitze. We'll say, this is an interesting machlokas. What happens if a man says to his wife, this is your get what? If the sun comes up tomorrow. If the sun goes up tomorrow, this is your get. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Savralak Rabbi Yossi, Darmazvan Shal Shtar Mochi Echalov. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Yosek Rabbi Yossi, who holds that there will say the inclusion of, Rabbi Yossi has an interesting shita. He holds that any inclusion of a date is an automatic retroactivity clause. It's an automatic retroactivity clause. Rabbi Yossi, remember again, hearing back to our Gittin days, says a whole machlokis as to whether or not Zman is necessary. What, if it's necessary, why it's necessary, and if the omission of Zman by definition invalidates the get. Rabbi Yossi holds that the power of a date, the power of the Zman, is that it's an immediate or an automatic retroactivity clause, if necessary. So also remember again, in a Stam case where a man is just writing a get and giving it to his wife, there's no need for a retroactivity clause because the get is dated on the same date that it's given. The shaila is in these kind of cases where there's some amount of time which elapses between the writing and delivery of the get. Rabbi Yossi holds that whenever there is a date, Zman Shtar Mochi Achalov, Vahavi Le Kime Hayom Imesi, Kime Achshav Imesi. And I will say, therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds that whenever there is a Zman, there is a retroactivity clause, and it's as if he said, Me Achshav, from now. V'Rabbanon, and therefore I will say, if a man says to his wife, this is your get on the condition that the sun comes out tomorrow, what he's really saying is what? This is your get from now, from this moment, when the sun comes out tomorrow. There's retroactivity clause. So Rabbanon lesu Rabbi Yossi, and the Rabbanon ultimately again do not subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. V'havilei kizegiteich imesi greido. And I will say this will be the equivalent of just saying what? This is your get if I die. Gufa, hey Rabbi Yossi, ben Ezra ish. So I will say, now we're going to go back. So remember, how do we get into this whole thing? Right? So I will say, just by the way, this is the exciting part about Daf Yomi in general. Right? Not that I have to sell anyone here, but just, like, it's so incredible how Mamish is like a journey. You start out in one place, you end up somewhere dramatically different, and then we have to figure out how to get back to the originally plotted course. So remember again, how did this whole conversation started? It started with a conversation between Rabbi Yehudah Nesiya and his attendant Rabbi Smaloi. What did Rabbi Yehudah Nesiya say? He said, Smaloi, where were you yesterday? In the Beis Medrash, it was a big day. What was the big day in the Beis Medrash? What was the big day? That we permitted Shemen Akum. We permitted the oil of an idolater. So Ismailai says, oh, Rabbi, that's nothing. Wait, you're going to see, we're going to permit Pas Akum in our days, or Pas Palter in our days. To which Rabbi Yehudah Nesiya says, Hold on, I don't want to get a reputation as being a big makel, as being lenient. Remember, I've already issued a number of leniencies, because look what happened to Yossi ben Sreda. What happened to Yossi ben Sreda? He permitted three things, right? He permitted three, and we're going to go through those three things now. He permitted those three things, and they called him Yosef Sharia. They called him Yosef the Permitter. That was a shtach, right? They called him Yosef the Permitter, right? They said, ah, he's so makel. And Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya says, I don't want to get that reputation. To which, again, Rabbi Smalai says, don't worry about it. He permitted three things. He only permitted one thing. He says, no, I've actually permitted two things. One was Shemen. The second was this case of the get that we just dealt with. And if I go ahead and now permit Paspalter, that's going to be a third thing. So now we're going to take a step back and analyze the three things that Yossi ben Sreda permitted. So what says the Gemara, Gufa Heir Yossi ben Yo'ezer Ish Tzreda Al Ayil Kamsa Dachan. So what say, number one was that this type of grasshopper, Ayil Dachan, was in fact, Dachan means Tahor. But what it really means is fit for consumption, kosher. So the Va'amashka Beis Mitbach Yo'dachan, and about the liquids that come out of the slaughterhouse of the Beis HaMikdash, that they too are tahor. Val dikarav lemesa masav. And that one, Rav Osei, who what? Who comes in, now literally what this sounds like is one who comes in contact with a corpse is tame. So we'll say, this sounds like he's prohibiting something. So again, we'll discuss this. So let's analyze this. V'karav le Yosef Sharia. And they called him Yosef the Remitter. So the Gemara says, my ayal kamsa, what's the case of the ayal kamsa? What's the case of this grasshopper? Rav Papa Amar Shoshiva. Rav Papa says he permitted the Shoshiva. Rashi says Shoshiva, we'll say it's five lines up from the bottom. Shoshiva min chaga v'rosha arach. It's a type of locust with a long head. And apparently it's kosher. Rabbi Chiya bar Abi Meshei du Ulo Amar Susbil. No, he permitted the Susbil. Kind of all say they're arguing on what type of species Yosef ben Yoezer permitted. Rabbi Papa Amar Shoshiva. Rabbi Papa says permitted the Shoshiva. Kamifli Gibaro Sha'aruch. Ultimately, again, and they aren't really the machlokis over here is about the long-headed locust. Mar Savar Rosh Sha'aruch Aser. One opinion says the long-headed locust ultimately is not kosher. Umar Savarosha Aruch Mutter. And the other opinion said, no, the long head of locust is Mutter. So the Gemara said, Chia bar Abi Mishmei du Ula Amar. So we'll say, Chia bar Abi, the name of Ula said, Amar Bezer will say, Susbil. He says, no, they're arguing about the Susbil type of locust. Verosha Aruch Kuli Amalo Pligi the Usser. Because when it comes to the long headed locust, everyone agrees that it's Usser. Bahacha Biknaf of Chofen Esrubo Ayidiat Chakamiflegi. And I will say, what's the machlokis over here? The machlokis I will say is as follows. We know that apparently one of the signs for a kosher locust is that the wings cover the majority of the body. What happens, I will say, in this case of b'chnafav chopin esrubai di'adchak kamiflegi? I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says b'chnafav chopin esrubai di'adchak kamiflegi. V'lo garsin v'karv sulin hainu karv sulaim v'lo chafu midi shein bezer gaim aruchim mina arba v'medalik v'hainu krami ma'ala ragalav anichar. So also listen to this. What happens if you have that the wings cover the majority, but it's not an overwhelming majority. In other words, it's just a slight majority of the body. Does that make the locust kosher or not? Mar Savar Ruba Koldu. So we'll say one opinion says, as long as it's 51%, we're good. Right? As long as literally again the wings cover 51% of the locust body, we're good. And Umar Savar Ruva de Minkar Ba'inon. And the other opinion says, no, we'll say it's not enough to have 51%. Rather, what do you need? What do we call a Ruba de Minkar? We'll say, what's a Ruba de Minkar? A recognizable majority. So that was the machlokas. And apparently, so there's so here's what we know. What we know is Yosi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda permitted some type of locust that everyone else said was treif, couldn't eat. There's a machlokas, ultimately again, which type of locust did he permit? Was it the Susbil or was it the, what was the name of the other one? Shoshiva. Okay, machlokas. Alright, well, let's go weiter. Second thing he permitted was that the liquids of the temple slaughterhouse will be permitted. So we'll say, my dachan, will be tahar. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My dachan, what does it mean, it'll be tahar? Rav Amar, dachan mamish. So Rav says, it literally means tahar. Literally means tahar. That the liquids themselves, we'll say, can't what? But number one, can't become tamei, and number two, can't convey tuma. Ushmul Amar Shmuel says, dachan milatame acheri. Shmuel says, no, what it means is they can't convey tuma, aval tumas atzman yesh bohen. But they can become tamei. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes Rav and Shmuel as to what the heter of Yosi ben Yoezer was. Rav says that the liquids of the temple slaughterhouse of Osai cannot become Tameh, and obviously if you can't become Tameh, then what? You can't transmit Tumah either. Shmuel says, no, they can become Tameh, they just can't transmit Tumah. So Osai, so let's analyze this a little bit. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Dachan Mamish. So we'll say Rav says they can't. Literally, again, they can't become tamei, and therefore can't convey tuma. He says Kasavar Tumas Mashkin Dirabanam. So we'll say he holds as follows. First of all, the whole idea that liquids can become tamei is a din dirabanam. Right? That's the whole idea. Tumas mashkin is the Rabbanon. V'chi gazer Rabbanon tuma b'mashkin da'ama. And when did the Rabbanon go ahead, I will say, and impose their halacha on general liquids? Aval b'mashke b'mitbachyo lo gazer Rabbanon. But I will say, on the liquids, right? On the liquids, I will say, by the way, when we say the liquids, what are the liquids of this? So again, it's blood, it's water. So the Rabbanon were not gozer. I will say, by the way, this would seem to be in consonance with other halachas. We know that in general, dinei d'Rabbanon do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is governed by d'Oraisa, but not necessarily by d'Rabbanon. That's why we see this, that for example, on Shabbos, many of the things that we cannot do outside of the Beis HaMikdash are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash. It's what Chazal call Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So certain Dinei D'Rabbanon. So therefore, again, Rav's position is as follows. Midoraisa, liquids can't contract tumah. That Midrabanon, they can. Midrabanon, they can contract tumah. And Midrabanon, what? They can convey tumah. This Chazal chose not to apply this Din D'Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately, liquids from the slaughterhouse cannot become tameh and therefore cannot convey tumah. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says no. Docha mila tameh achir. Shmuel says no. The liquids of Osai cannot convey tumah to something else. Aval tumas atzman yishpoen. But Shmuel says that the liquids of the slaughterhouse of the Beis HaMikdash can't convey tumah, but what? Can absolutely contract tumah. So it says the Gemara Kasavra, what does Shmuel hold? Yield tumas mashkin daraisa. He also will say that the ability for liquids to contract tumah, that's doraisa. Latame achirim dirabanam. But their ability to what? Their ability to transmit tumah, that's only dirabanam. V'chi gazru abanam b'mashkin da'amo, b'mashkin b'imitbach yolo gazru. When the rabbanon were gozer, that liquids convey tumah, that's only outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but not inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So here's what we know. Again, what's interesting about all of these things is, we're going through the list of the various things that Yossi ben Yo'ezer Ish Tzreda permitted. What we're beginning to see is that what? That there's a machlokes about what exactly it is that he permitted. So now we know, number two, is he permitted the liquids of the slaughterhouse of the Beis HaMikdash. What did he permit? According to Rav, Mamish again, he said that Lemais, it's not Yossi ben Yo'ezer's psak. He's interpreting what the Takanas Chazal was. And he's saying that Lemaisa, liquids only contract and convey Tumah Midirabanan. Dirabanan chose not to apply this halacha to the liquids of the slaughterhouse, and therefore what? They don't contract, and therefore, of course, don't convey Tumah. Shmuel says, no. The ability for liquids to contract Tumah is a din daraisa. That applies in the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal can't legislate regarding a daraisa. But what they can say is, Midirabanan, liquids convey Tumah, but these liquids of the Beis Mitbachya, although they contract Tumah, do not go ahead and convey Tumah. I will say this indeed is the machlokes between what Rav and Shul about what Yossi ben Yo'ezer said. So I will say, interestingly enough, the way that Rabban Paskins is like Shmuel. Is like Shmuel. That halacha lemaisa, the liquids of the Bei Mitbachya, of the slaughterhouse in the Beis HaMikdash, do contract Tumah, because we hold Tumas Mashkin is Doraisa. We hold that liquids have the ability to contract Tumah Doraisa, but what? They don't convey Tumah. That is a unique halacha by the liquids of the Beis HaMikdash, of the slaughterhouse of the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, generally we hold the same way liquids contract Tumah Midoraisa, they also have the ability to convey Tumah. Dafka in the Beis HaMikdash, although they contract Tumah, they don't convey Tumah. Good. V'al dikarav l'meisav masav v'karle yosei sheref. So we'll say, remember, what was number three? Now, number three, heter, doesn't sound like a heter at all. What did Yossi ben Yo'ezer say? Literally translated Rabbi Osai, one who comes in contact with a corpse becomes tameh. And I'll say this was the third thing he said. And as a result of this, they called him Yossi the permitter. Yossi the permitter. So Gemara says, Yosef asumi boyle. So first of all, what are you talking about? This third thing Rabbi Osai is not a heter. It's not a heter. This is an iser. He's saying that someone who comes in contact with a corpse ultimately again is going to become tameh. So why would they call him the permitter based on that? He's answering something. Va'od. Furthermore, again, I will say it's a more fundamental issue. Doraisi. Let's say you make it sound like Yossi ben Yo'ezer was mechadish this incredibly novel idea, which is what? That if you go out and you touch a corpse, you become tameh. Shkoyach. Someone preceded him. His name is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rav Shom said that already, that if you touch a corpse, you become tamei. What is Yossi ben Yoezer adding over here? Tichsiv, v'chala sheyiga p'nei asad, v'chala cherevo b'meis. The pasuk is actually quite explicit. If you touch a dead body, you become tamei. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Here's what Yossi ben Yoezer is saying. D'oraisa dikarev tamei. Dikarev tar. It's only if you touch a corpse that you become tameh. But if you touch someone who touched a corpse, so remember again, Reuven touches the corpse, I touch Reuven. So midaraisa, I am tahar. I am tahar. Va'asa inhu v'gazra afilu dikarev b'dikarev. And Chazal came along and said, what Rabbi was saying? That even if you touch someone who touched a corpse, Reuven touches a corpse, I touch Reuven. So midaraisa, I should be tahar. Chazal came along and said, no, I'm going to be tamei. Va'asaihu, and Yossi ben Yoezer comes along and says what? Va'okma ad da'oraisa. And Yossi ben Yoezer came along and said what? No, we should go back to the da'oraisa. So Rabbi said, that's what he permitted. That was his kula. His kula was what? His kula is, we're going back to the da'oraisa. So what's the da'oraisa? What's the da'oraisa? Only if I touch the corpse, I become tamei. But if I touch someone who touched the corpse, I am tahar. I am tahar. So we'll say, so again, you see the progression? Midaraisa, everyone agrees that if you touch a corpse, you become tamei. Midrabanan, they said that if you touch someone who touched the corpse, you also become tamei. Yossi ben Yoezer said, no, but let's go back to the daraisa. If you touch someone who touched the corpse, you are still tahar. To which someone says, one second. Dikarev dikarev nami daraisu. That's not true. It will say, you know, the halacha is, if somebody touches a corpse, they become an avatoma. And midaraisa, we say that if an avatoma touches another person, then what? That person becomes a rishon latoma. And that's daraisa dichsiv, v'chol asher yiga bo hatame yitma. It will say, it's mefurish pasuk. The pasuk says, and anything which the tamei, who is the tamei? Rabbi say that's Reuven. When Reuven touches the corpse, he becomes an avatoma. So, but you know that tuma is like a progression. So remember, the corpse is the avi avos hatuma, is the mothership of tuma. Right when Reuven touches the corpse, he becomes an avatoma. When he touches someone else, that person becomes a rishon. The pasuk explicitly says that if you touch the tamei, you too become tamei. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Amru Rabbana kamei d'Rav Mishvei d'Mar Zutra. So the Rabbana said this over in front of Rava, who said the name of Mar Zutra, b'Rid Rav Nachman, d'Rav Mishvei d'Rav Nachman. Listen to this. Oh, I'll tell you what the halach is. D'Raisa, d'Karev b'd'Karev b'chiburin, Tumas Shiva. They will say, watch this. If Reuven is touching the corpse, actively touching the corpse, and I touch Reuven, then Enoch Nami Rabosei, I become Tumah. It's called Tumas Shiva. What's Tumas Shiva, Rabosei? Tumas Shiva means I have to observe the 7 days of impurity with the whole Paraduma thing. Not the whole Paraduma thing. You know, with the whole Paraduma process. In other words, Rabosei, so the idea is, if I go ahead and there's an unbroken chain. So we'll say, this is literal. This is not like a metaphor. Reuven is touching the corpse. I am touching Reuven. So there's a direct connection between what? Between me and the corpse, albeit an indirect connection. I'm touching Reuven, Reuven touching the corpse. So we'll say that type of tumor, I'm touching the person who is touching the corpse, that's called what we call bichiburin. There's a connection. Then enachinami, I'm tamei tumas shiva. And I will say, I have the 7 day tumor period, as if what? I will say, as if what? As if what? I touch the corpse directly. However, again, shalo bichiburin, but I will say, if Reuven touches the corpse, and then he walks out of the room, and then he touches me, then what? Then what? I am tamei, but only what? Tumas erev. We'll say, which means a one-day tumah. A one-day tumah. So the Gemara says, va'asu inhu, and what happens? Yossi ben Yoezer and his bezdin came along, va'asu inhu, v'gazer afilu shelo b'chiburin. And ultimately, again, what happened? Rabbi was saying, so he was gozer, even shalom b'chiburin tumas shiva. So we'll say, so what happens? I'm sorry, not Yossi ben Yoezer. The Rabbanan came along and the Rabbanan said, no. Even if I touch Reuven, and Reuven is not touching the corpse, I still have to observe tumas shiva. And what happens? Va'aseihu, Yossi ben Yoezer came along and what did he do? Va'okma adaraisa. Yossi ben Yoezer came back, Rabbi Osei, what did he do? He put it back on the Doraisa. What's the Doraisa, Rabbi Osei? The Doraisa is, if I'm touching Reuven, Reuven's touching the corpse, then what? Tumas Shiva. But if Reuven's no longer touching the corpse and I touch Reuven, then what? Tumas Erev. Doraisa Mahi. So I'll say, what is, where do we see this Midoraisa? So, Dichsiv, Hanogia b'meis l'chol nefesh adam v'tamei shivas yamim. Because also, on the one hand, the pasuk says that if somebody goes ahead and touches the mace, l'chol nefesh adam, right, for any person, he will be impure for 7 days. Ksiv v'chol ha-sheyiga bo'atame yitma. Also, the pasuk says anything that the tamei touches will become tamei. Ksiv ha-nefesh hanogas titma at ha-aref. The Rebbe says another pasuk that says that the person who touches the mace will be tamei until the evening. So we'll say, you seem to have a contradictory psukim. On one hand, the pasuk tells me that if I touch the mace, I'm going to be tamei for 7 days. On the other hand, the pasuk seems to tell me that I'm only going to be tamei until the evening. Ha-ketzad. So we'll say, what's the case? Kan b'chibur, kan shelo b'chibur. Rebbe says, it's not a contradiction. Again, when am I tamei for 7 days? If I am touching the person who touched the mace, and what? That person is still touching the mace. There's a direct connection between me and the mace, 7 days. If, however, Reuven touched the mace, he's no longer touching the mace. And now I touch Reuven, I'm going to be tamei, but only tumas erev, not tumas shiva. Amar lehu Rava, lav amina lecha, lav amina lechu. So Rava says, have I not told you many times, lo titlu bo buki siriki b'Rav Nachman. Do not hang empty vessels on Rav Nachman. So I'll say what that's another way of saying is, do not go ahead, bless you, do not go ahead and attribute erroneous rulings to Rav Nachman. Why, Rabbo, say? I'm Rav Nachman. Safek tuma b'shus harabim hitir lahem. Rabbo say, ultimately, again, what was it that Yossi ben Yoezer permitted? What was the heter that he gave? Rabbo say, he gave the heter of safek tuma b'shus harabim. That if you have a case of doubtful tuma in Rishus harabim, Ultimately, again, it's going to be permitted. Look at Rashi, we'll say. So, Safek Toma Bereshus Rabim Hitulahem, She'inam Nogim Ba Isser, V'Hachi Kamar, Al Dikarav Vadai Lemesav Misav, Ava Misafek Lo. We'll say, what Yossi Ben Yoezer is permitting as follows. He was saying that if you have a case of Safek Toma Bereshus Rabim, you are going to be tar. We'll say, how does that fit into the verbiage? Because essentially what he said is, the only time that a person is tamei, or I should say, the situation where a person is tamei is where he knows definitively that he came in contact with a corpse. But if he does not know definitively that he came in contact with a corpse, then what? It's a safek tumah b'rishos harabim. Then ultimately, again, he's going to be tar. So Gemara says, 1 second. That's not a chiddush of Yossi ben Yoezer, I will say. That's not a chiddush. Ultimately, again, that's a Gemara. We know that from Sota. What's the name from Sota? Mas Sota. But remember again, what's the whole case of Sota? The whole case of Sota is a case of Safek. Right? There's a case of Safek, I will say. Meaning, what we have is circumstantial. We have a Safek that something has happened between this woman and with a man about whom her husband warned her about. Sota becomes the paradigmatic way as they deal with Safek. Mas Sota, Roshos HaYachid, will say, just like the Sota process is only triggered if what? If she's alone with this man about whom her husband warned her about, in Roshos HaYachid, meaning in private, Af Tumah Roshos HaYachid. So I'll say, ultimately, again, so too Tumah is only meaningful if it happens in Roshos HaYachid. But if you have a Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim, then what Rabbi will say? That Safek is resolved as being Tahor. So that's not Yossi Ben Yoezer's Chiddush. Let's say, we know that Halacha. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ve'in Morinikim. So we'll say, because what happened? Rabbi Yochanan came along and he said, it's true, this is the Halacha, but we don't paskin this way. To which the Gemara says, Va'asa ihu, Yossi ben Yoezer came along and said, Va'orile aruye. And Yossi ben Yoezer says, no, this is indeed the Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan, that Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim will be tar. Tanya Amir, we have a brisa that supports this. Rabbi Huda Omer Koros Na'atz Lahem. So Rabbi Huda says that he went ahead and Yossi ben Yoezer went ahead and made koros. He went ahead, or Rabbi Huda, I should say, went ahead and stuck poles into the ground. And what did he say? So, I'm sorry. Rabbi Huda says that, what did he do? He stuck poles into the ground. Va'amar, ad kan rishus harabim, ad kan rishus hayochid. Ultimately, Rabbi Huda, he made demarcation poles, right? Up until he was rab, up until he was rishus hayochid. So the Gemara says, kiyosol kamed Rabbi Yana, amar lehu, ha maya bishkiyasa dinara, Zilu Tavulu. So we'll say, so listen to this. So Rabbi Huda came, I'm sorry. So when the students came before Rabbi Yanai, so we'll say, so this turns out to be the halacha that Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim will be Tahor. The Gemara just ends off by saying, when the students came before Rabbi Yanai with the situation of Safek Tumah, even though again we paskin safek tuma birshus harabim is tahor. Rabbi Yannai says, literally translated, it means there's deep water in the river, go to the mikvah. Which Rabbi says is another way of saying what? There is no need to rely on this halacha if you don't need to rely on this halacha. In other words, Rabbosai, when we say safek tomer b'shus harabim is tahor, that's okay. Not that's okay. But if you need to rely on that, then fine. But if you have the ability to remedy doubtful tumah by what, Rabbosai? By going to the mikvah, then simply go to the mikvah. Vashlaka. So we'll say next case. Remember, so now ultimately again, the way we resolve this, we'll say, is we went through the three cases of the three aterim of Yossi ben Yoezer. Number one, he permitted this certain type of grasshopper. What type of grasshopper? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Next, he said that the liquids of the Bei Mitbachi, the slaughterhouse of the Beis Hamikdash, are tahor. We'll say, what does tahor mean? Does it mean tahor in totality from contracting and conveying, or just conveying? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And now number three, ultimately again, he permitted safek toma birshus harabim. Fine. Ultimately again, Rabbi Huda Nisiya says, I am reticent to permit pasakum, because if I permit pasakum, that'll be my third kula, and I don't want to get a bad reputation. So it says the Gemara Vashlaka. So we'll say the next category in the Mishnah was cooked items of an akum are also permitted for achila. Minhanimi, the Rabbi said, from where do we know that you can't eat food cooked by an akum? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, Ochal ba kesef tishbireni. So Rabbi said, remember again, the pasuk says this is when Klal Yisrael wants to pass through the lands of Sichon and Og. So they send the message. What's the message? The message is Ochal ba kesef tashbireni. Listen, Melech Edom, Melech Edom. So they say, don't worry, we're going to buy food. We're going to buy food from you. Ocha b'kesef tashreini, v'achalti, mayim b'kesef titein li. Just, we'll buy everything. It'll be good for your economy. So the Gemara says, so kimayim, so we'll say, so the pasuk is comparing food to water. In other words, Klal Yisrael said to the Gentile nation, we will buy food and water from you. So the Gemara says, it's comparing food to water. Mamayim shalom nishtanu. Just like water is unchanged, so too we could buy food from you if it's unchanged. Now, Rabbi said, we could buy food from you, Gentile king, if what? If it's in its raw, unchanged state. But if it is changed in any way, we cannot go ahead and purchase it from you. Rabbi said, this, by the way, just so you understand, this is the sugya of Bishul Akum. This is your bishul akum, that you can't eat foods cooked by a Gentile. This has nothing to do with kosher ingredients. This is one of the general prohibitions concerning chasnus and a way of avoiding intermarriage. So we'll say, so again, you, in order to purchase the food, in order to eat the food of an akum, has to be like water. Just like water is unchanged, so too the food must be unchanged. So if that's the case, then you're telling me if the Gentile took wheat and he made it into wheat kernels, roasted kernels, that I can't eat it, I can't purchase it from him, why, Rabbosai? Because at the end of the day, it's changed. Maybe you'll say indeed that it's true. V'atanya, we learned, chitin v'asan klayos mutarim. But yet, we learned, Rabbosai, that's what? That if the Gentile took the wheat and he made it into parched kernels, that I can go ahead and purchase it from him. Ela kimayim, rather, what does it mean like water? Mamayim shalom nishtanam mibriyasan. Rather, what it means is just as water is in its original state, so too any food must be in its original recognizable state as well. See, even though when he makes the wheat into the parched kernels, the kernels are still recognizable. So if that's the case, if he takes wheat and he grinds it up, so you're going to be telling me now you can't purchase that from the akum, we'll say, right? Because wheat no longer looks like the original, flour no longer looks like the original wheat. V'chitei mahakinami, maybe you'll say this is indeed the case. V'atanya chitin va'asan klayos hakimachin va'asalos shalem mutarin. Yet, Rabbi will say that's what? That if a Gentile has wheat, he goes ahead and he grinds it up into flour, I'm permitted to purchase that from him. Ela kimayim, mamayim shlo nishtanu miryosan ayedea ar, ultimately, rather, what do you have to say? You have to say it's like water. Just like water, Rabbi Yossi, was unchanged from a fire, so too, again, I can only eat food from a Gentile if it hasn't been changed through a fire. Which Rabbi Yossi means what? It hasn't been changed through cooking. even if the food itself has changed form, as long as that change has not been affected through cooking, ultimately, again, I am permitted to purchase that from the Gentile, or permitted to consume that from the Gentile. I will say, we'll stop over here for today. We're stopping a little bit in the middle of the sugya, but Emirat Hashem, again, we're not finished. Trying to figure out, under what circumstances am I not permitted to go ahead and eat the food of a Gentile. We'll say, a mazel tov to Morty Garden, on the occasion of his wedding tonight, b'sha'a tova u'metzlachos, mazel tov. I just want to point out, the chassan is here on the day of his wedding. No one would have bothered him. I wouldn't have even texted him if he didn't come this morning. So if you have a chassan of the night, you could be here. Alachas kama v'kama. Morty, thank you for the chizuk. We appreciate the schus of the chizuk that you're giving us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench you and Alana, you and your kala. I may have asked Shalom Tovos, the incredible simcha, incredible mazel, and incredible bracha in the bayis that you're about to build. Mazel tov.
I said we're stopping here, so I didn't. It's like when the bubble's not for me.